you would, and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Romans, chapter 4. And we spent some time in the morning Sunday school looking at some events in the life of Abraham. And we're going to kind of continue that focus. That was kind of the precursor to this message. And so I'd like you to turn to Romans, chapter 4, verse 1. And I'm going to read the entire chapter, all 25 verses, because I want to get to, I'm going to be focusing on one particular verse, but I want you to see some things here that, and I just think it might be a blessing to you to take the time to read it. So if you'll follow along, Romans chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our fathers pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, being yet uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised." Now, before I go on, when it talks about the circumcision and the uncircumcised, it's talking about the Jew and the Gentile there. So just for you to understand that, and it goes back to the Old Testament and the establishment of the Jewish nation and the covenants that were given to Abraham in that time. So, and his seed. And it says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Now, Father, again, we do thank you for the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see something this morning that we need to see. We thank you for all that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for everything you've provided for us. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us. in this day to see something that would make a difference in our lives. Lord, if there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation today. Open our eyes, Lord, to the truth of your word and help me to be a blessing, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to bring your attention to verse 18 of that passage talking about Abraham. It said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You know, we talked at length about Abraham in the morning Sunday school hour, and we talked about how God called him to go out to a place which he would afterward receive for an inheritance, and he went. He obeyed, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. God just said, leave there and go to a land that I'll tell you of. And he went. And then after he found out the land that he was in, that he was going to inherit, he never received it during his earthly lifetime. He dwelt in that land as a stranger. And then he was promised an heir, and that Sarah would have a child. And of course, we talked at length about that. But you know, when we look at this whole passage of Scripture, this whole chapter, it's talking about faith. And obviously, the ultimate goal is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says about Abraham, and particularly about the giving of a child from his wife Sarah, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. God had promised them, I believe when Abraham was 99, he said that there would be a child born unto Sarah. And so that child was promised. When Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, she conceived and bore a child. And it's an amazing thing when we looked at that. But we would say today, we would look at a 100-year-old man or a 90-year-old woman, and we would not think about childbirth, would we? We wouldn't think about conception or anything like that. And it wasn't as different back then as you think it was. People lived much longer, no doubt, at this time. But the load of sin on humanity was taking effect. And it says that he, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And so, he against hope, when we would look at it from our perspective, what we can see, what he could see, as the life and the circumstances of his life, you know, his ancestors lived much longer than he did even. And their lives and their vitality extended well over 100 years. And so the reality was that in Abraham's time, you're seeing the degeneration of mankind. And if you think about it, before we actually started paying attention and people began believing God, much of what we call the Renaissance and the Reformation, all these things went hand in hand, was a renewal of faith in God and seeking God in many ways. And we look at that and we see the impact that it's had. And modern science is built upon actually faith in God. And so a lot of the advances we have in modern science that have extended our life, these that come, even though now we're getting to the point where most of science is now atheistic, But we're getting it began as a renewal of faith in God and seeking to understand. One of the I don't have any heroes, by the way. I don't have any heroes. I do have some people I admire. Nowadays everybody's a hero, aren't they? So desperate for heroes, we'll make anybody a hero. But I don't have any heroes, but I have people I greatly admire. One of the people that I greatly admire is a fellow by the name of George Washington Carver. If you ever read his story and read about him. And he went up before Congress one day, and after all the innovations and everything, and I'm going to paraphrase here so I can sum it all up, but after all the innovations that he made in farming and peanuts and all the things that he was able to make out of peanuts. And you'd be amazed how many things are made out of peanuts today that are directly attributable, and advances in farm technology and techniques that are attributable to that man who was the son of former slaves. All right, George Washington Carver. And he got up before Congress. They had decided to honor him, and they asked him, they said, "Mr. Carver, how did you learn so many things about something so simple as a peanut?" And to paraphrase, he said, "I just asked the one who made the peanut." He said, "I just said, Mr. Creator, teach me about the peanut." And he learned things, and he was an amazing man, but he was a man of faith. And a lot of the things that we have go back to that time, and the things that we still use today and are still trying to build upon today started with him and many others like him. And so we look at that and we see these people that although their faith is minimized in culture today and in history today, they were still people of faith. They believed God. And amazing things happened. And we look at our lifespans today. And when you go back from what we call the Dark Ages to now, we've made great strides. But we degenerated into the Dark Ages. And we could talk a long time about the causes of all of that. But the simple fact is, we go back to Abraham, and though his life was impacted by the generations after the fall of man and the effects of sin throughout the generations. By the way, let's be honest about this. Sin costs us. It hurts us. I could give you hours of talking how the sins of man impact people. They hurt us and they hurt others, don't they? Every one of us here has been hurt by our own sin and by the sins of others, haven't we? And we've probably hurt other people with our sins, haven't we? That's a fact, isn't it? But here we have a fellow by the name of Abraham. And it says, who against hope believed in hope. Against hope, he believed in hope. Now we live in a world today that it just seems, from our perspective, it's just absolutely gone slap crazy, hasn't it? Think about that. Just think on that for a little while. But the simple fact is, there's a great reality that we need to understand. You know, this idea of despair and just wanting to quit and give up, that's not of God. That comes from man's fallen nature. You know, it's an amazing thing that. We look at there's two pictures of people when we talk about people that are lost. There's two basic pictures of people when we deal with people. There's the the person that deceives themselves and says, well, I'm good enough to go to heaven on my own. And then there's the person that's in despair that refuses. Both cases are refusing to believe God. But the other person, you know, I've met people and talked to people and they say, well, preacher, I know I deserve to go to heaven, but I don't think God can save me. I don't believe God would save someone like me. Either I don't believe He would or I don't believe He can. And you know what? They've lost all hope. And while the one person needs to be freed from his deception of thinking that somehow he himself is able and has kept the law and is without sin and is pure enough to enter heaven, then the other person needs to be made to the point of gotten past that point of despair to against what he sees, what he can understand, to against hope, believe in hope, just to be saved. But that is the essence of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible tells us. And Abraham, against hope, he looked at himself, he saw no hope. He looked at the world around him, he saw no hope. He looked at God, he saw hope. That's the faith of Abraham. That's the faith that caused him to walk out and go to a place that he knew nothing about, to leave family and friends and everything, and go to a land and leave that land not knowing where he was going. And when he got there, that's what caused him to stay, even though he had problem after problem after problem and made mistake after mistake. He stayed. And then he believed when God gave him the promise of an heir, and that even though his wife was childless. And then when they got past the point of actually being able to bear children, from a human standpoint, God intervened and he believed. And then when God told him to take that child and offer him on an altar, he believed that God would raise him from the dead if necessary. Of course, we know the story that God provided a substitute for Isaac, didn't he? And if you read that whole story, it harkens back to Christ, because that place in the mountains of Moriah where he went, that's the same place they built the temple. That's the same area that Mount Calvary was in the mountains of Moriah. And Abraham, when asked by his son, here's fire and here's wood, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And he said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And God provided not a lamb, but a ram for Isaac. But it said, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen, it being the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross for our sins, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Isn't that an amazing thing? Well, we see that when we read all of that. It's just so amazing to read it and study it and understand it and see what God did. It's wonderful to be able to look back. How would you like to be in Abraham's place and not be able to look back, but can only look forward? I mean, he could look back to Noah and the flood. He could look back to those things. But he didn't have as much to look back on as we do. And against hope, he did what? He believed in hope. When everything said that this was not the way to go, that it wasn't going to work, God said to do this, but it doesn't seem like it's going to work out. He continued, and against hope, he believed in hope. Against what he could see, against what everybody said, against what he could understand. You know, we talk about people that are people of faith, and we talk about what faith is, and there's so many things written in the Bible, obviously, about it. But the faith of Abraham is such that it believes God's word. It believes in God's character. Regardless of what anybody else says, regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation. Is that the type of faith you have? You know, as a pastor, one thing I always hear and is most disheartening to me as a pastor is to hear people that profess to be Bible-believing Christians, when it comes to whatever God says for us to do, to say, "Preacher, I can't." And that's okay to say if you realize that in yourself you can't. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's the picture of the faith of Abraham, that against hope, we look at ourselves, we look at our circumstances, we look at the world around us, and they all say, "No, no hope, no possibility, can't be done." And we look at the Word of God, and we look at the God of the Bible, and say, "Yes, it can." That's how we fail so often. We allow things that happen to us. I mentioned Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. They were in stocks in the inner prison. What'd they do? At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God, and the other prisoners heard them, right? God intervened. So, well, God's never done that for me. Now let me ask you this. When you were at your lowest point, were you praying and singing praises to God, or were you belly aching? That belly aching's easy. It comes good to the flesh. It's easy to belly ache. It's easy to question. It's easy to do all those things. That's what most people do. They question, don't they? Why? God, why is this happening to me? Why? God never told Abraham all the whys. He just gave him his promise, gave him his word. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That is the way to righteousness. That's the way of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, right? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And now the just, those that are justified, talking about Jesus, he said he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Once we've trusted Christ as our Savior, what then? Now the just, those that are justified, shall live by faith. Believing in hope, even against hope. Believing God's word, despite what we see. So, there's a evangelist that I knew for many years, didn't know him real well personally, but I'd spoken to him and heard him preach many times. His name was Jim Brown. He used to always like to talk about people and talk about experiences he had. And he said he was pastoring a church, and he got to talking to people, and he said he would ask people how they're doing, and they'd say, "Well, preacher, under the circumstances." And he just, everybody walked, "Preacher, under the circumstances." And so he just got to the point where he'd start saying, every time they'd say, "Well, preacher, under the circumstances, I'm doing okay." And he said, "Under the circumstances, what are you doing under there?" That's where we live. We live under our circumstances. How do you get it from out underneath the circumstances? Especially when, from a human perspective, there's no hope. Well, by faith. Against hope, you believe in hope. That's the faith of Abraham. We wonder about Abraham's faith. You know, Abraham's faith produced works, didn't it? Abraham's faith produced a direction. It impacted the way he lived. It impacted the choices he made. And did he fail? Sure he did. But he kept on believing and he kept on going. Not even his failure stopped him from believing God's promises. Does your failure stop you from believing God's promises? Does the devil whisper in your ear, "Well, you failed, so God's not going to honor His word"? That's a lie. You know, the Bible is replete with promises that God made to the nation of Israel and the descendants of Abraham. And boy, you talk about failure. Time and time again, they rejected God. They fell into idolatry. And even today, they reject the Messiah. They reject their Savior. And yet we go all the way into the book of... you can go through the Old Testament and you see God's promises of what He's going to do. And we go all the way to the book of Revelation. And we see God, despite everything that Israel has done, keeping His promise. Don't we? Well, if He'll keep His promise to them, He'll keep His promise to me. Because the keeping of His promise is not based upon you or me. The keeping of His promise is based upon Him. Amen. You know, we go up there and we look at the Word of God. It says, and we look at the passage that we had. And He says, verse 13, He says, "For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression." In other words, the law can only tell us what's right and show us how we fail. The law is the law. It doesn't fix anything. When we send people to jail, we don't do it to rehabilitate them or help them. We hope that somewhere along the line they'll learn a lesson, and that lesson will cause them to be willing to rehabilitate themselves. But we send them there to punish them, don't we? For violating the law. That's why the law is good. Good for. The law doesn't justify anybody. It just points out that we're unjustified, that we're lost. He said, "Therefore it is by faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not to that only which is of the law, but that would also which is of the faith of Abraham, which is the father of us all." In other words, salvation is by grace through faith so that the promise would be sure. Because if it was a matter of the law, the minute you break the law, the minute you fail, the minute you lie, the minute you cheat, the minute you deceive, the minute you steal, the minute you slander, the minute you curse, great commandment, you're lost, aren't you? That's why Jesus fulfilled the law. He paid the penalty for our sins. He rose from the dead. And we're to live that way. Why? Because the penalty's been paid for. That's the great blessing of our time and our day. We have the opportunity to look back at Calvary's cross and say, you know what? Everything's been taken care of. I failed today, but its provision has been made for today, hasn't it? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's still hope. You know, as long as you breathe, as long as you draw breath, there's still hope in there, in this world, because there's a God in heaven. As long as your loved ones draw breath, they may be lost today. If your friends and your family, they may be lost, but as long as they draw breath, there's still hope, isn't there? Hope of salvation. Hope for a miracle. One of the most amazing things when I grew up and my life and everything, when people, I've gone back to my hometown and I've gone back and met people I went to school with and people that knew me. And one of the most amazing things in their mind is that I turned out to be a preacher. I was the last person anybody would have thought been a preacher. That's the God of the Bible. Have you ever thought about that? Where's your faith today? What type of faith is it? Is it based upon what you can see and touch and taste and smell? Is it based upon what you can figure out? Or is it based upon the Word of God? You look at the world and look at your circumstances and throw in the towel of serving God, of even attempting to do what God wants you to do. Or do you, like Abraham, against hope, believe in hope? Are you willing to, despite your circumstances, to just step out by faith and do what God said to do? And to keep doing it? That's Abraham. There's nobody in the Bible that is used as an example of faith more than Abraham was. He's the father of the faithful. And it said, he being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore was imputed to him for righteousness. That type of faith makes a difference. Isn't it an amazing thing when we look at that? It says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. When everybody was saying it didn't want to happen, he was saying, yes, it is. When everybody was saying that it was over, he's saying, no, it's not. God said otherwise. And in John chapter 8, we find out where Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. They got upset with him. And he said, thou art not even yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they understood what he meant. They understood he was claiming to be God in human flesh, claiming equality with God, because they picked up stones and wanted to stone him for blasphemy. They knew what he meant. They understood what he said. But Jesus didn't lie. Abraham was still waiting. Wasn't he? Still faithful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we'll close out the service this morning. And I hope with your heads bowed, if there's one that's lost, I just want to tell you this. You can be saved today if you'll humble yourself and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation. He loves you. He gave himself for you. He paid the penalty for your sin. He rose from the dead, proving that it's been paid in full. And that's why salvation is now a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I just, if you got questions, be my honor to take a Bible and show you and answer every question you have. Because the most important thing that's ever going to happen is being prepared for eternity. That's the most important thing of anybody's life. But if you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I have no doubts of my salvation. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know I'm saved. It's good that you have that faith, but do you live by that faith? Will you believe God and refuse to throw in the towel? Regardless of what you see. That's the faith of Abraham. That's the faith we need. Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Heavenly Father, we do pray and we ask your help. Lord, you know every heart. Lord, I'm not able to see in anybody's heart, but you can. You know all things. So, Lord, help us to realize that there's nothing that can be hid from you. So help us to be honest in this moment. Father, if there's anything this world needs, it's people of faith. People that will believe God, people that will do your will no matter what else is going on in this world, no matter what anybody else does or says, no matter what it seems like. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to be those people of faith, to believe your word, to trust in your promises, to know that you keep your word. Lord, we're so thankful we have the Bible. We're so thankful we have so much history. Right now it seems like a lot of people are just ready to give up and quit. So Lord, help us to be like Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Who believed God. Lord, we just thank you. We pray that you would bless as we break for our fellowship time and our meal. Lord, we just ask that you would help us to live by faith. We thank you in Jesus' name.